So it's Thursday today, and on Thursdays we always speak to the author of a local non-fiction book. And today the book is called Breakthrough, The Struggles and Secret Talks That Brought Apartheid South Africa to the Negotiating Table. It's by Paulo Jordan and Mac Maharaj, the political activists. And this really looks at the period leading up to the negotiations. So when President F.W. de Klerk announced the unbanning of the liberation movements on the 2nd of February 1990, he opened the door to negotiations that would end apartheid, pave the way to democracy. How did that moment come about? What power struggles, what secret talks had brought the country to this point? So this book is written by the two ANC veterans who were close to the events and sheds new light on that process that led to the formal negotiations. So it's a great pleasure to welcome Mac Maharaj, one of the co-authors, and great to have you back on 702 and Cape Talk today, Mac.
Thank you, Mandy. Thank you to your listeners. Yeah, I think the last time I was on your air was when John Robbie was still broadcasting an anchor. That's a long time ago, eh?
I remember speaking to you often as you were fulfilling your obligations in your formal position. We're speaking to you today as an author, Mac, and you've written this book with Paulo Jordan. You look in particular at the years 1984 to 1990 and what led to these negotiations. So it's a really interesting period. Was there a sense from your perspective that there were gaps in the telling of this important period? Many of the books about the negotiations or the run-up to the negotiations are written from a national party or a government perspective. So did you feel that you needed other threads of the narrative to be recorded?
Yes, we felt firstly that whatever narrative versions that are on the table at the moment are very one-sided, and quite often they don't guide you to find the source material. There are memoirs and memoirs that have it. While they are valuable, they do have a defect that memory can be very fallacious and persistent. The second problem we had was that people normally focus on what happens at the table. But in a conflict situation and war, the longer that war lasts, the more difficult it is to resolve the matter by sitting at the table. At some point or other, you will have to sit at the table, even if it is to accept the surrender from one side to the other. So that process becomes very important to understand, and I think what we found was that we could document what was happening in the different arenas as the forces began to engage with the process of changing South Africa. So we've tried to show the different sides, the different elements, period by period, and according to the timeline of events, rather than imposing our current understanding and fitting the facts to that. So we've put the facts on the table. If there are any facts that are missing, we would welcome that. But we believe that we've put everything that is relevant, and we have given all the sources so that it cannot be said that what we are putting there is just an opinion piece.
Mm. Exactly that. So it very much is a historical recording based on the facts. And both yourself and Dr. Paulo Jordan have a proximity to the story. You're close to it, if not players in these events that you record. And there are a couple of instances in the book, such as in 1985, when Paulo Jordan prepared a paper after the Kabwe conference. There's a mention of communication between yourself as leader of Operation Vula in the late 1980s, where you speak about yourself in the third person. So there's a kind of distance of sorts. Was it important to have that distance so that it would be more of a factual historical recording?
Yes, we thought it was critical. We thought this is going to be a historical work, and that we should distance ourselves, and we should allow the reader to come to their own conclusions and not be influenced by just our feelings, because that is one of the problems that we have. We try to judge our past by the present condition of our country. Whereas if we want to learn from history, we must understand the past as best as possible, how it happened, so that we can see how it influences today.
Which does bring me to my next question, is how do you hope that this account, the reflections on the leadership of the ANC through this period, will help inform, remind us of the where to look for the leadership of the ANC, the state of the ANC today as it heads into an election? Are there lessons in it for today's leaders?
There are lessons in it, Mandy, for everyone, including the ANC. Yes, I think the focus on the ANC is understandable because it has been the governing party since 1994. And it has to take responsibility for what has happened in that period. But the important lessons that come out of it is that you need to mobilize our society for change and take as many people on board. And we show that in the struggle years, what the ANC did under the leadership of Tambo was to broaden its support, enter into the terrain of the ruling forces, and win over and neutralize others so that there is a national movement for change. This was not an attempt to just impose it. The second thing that comes out is that if we want social change, we must understand that the people are the force for change. And we need to argue, we need to persuade, we need to put facts before them in guiding our country to change. So for the ANC, it is important. They are currently looking at themselves and saying that they need to undergo a renewal. Well, that renewal must understand what was the message of that period that we have examined. And what comes out is the deep, deep sense of reliance on the people and the ANC being an instrument of the people, not making the people an instrument of the ANC.
So, Mac, when you look back at this period, which many would argue would be, you know, the halcyon days of the ANC, when they came into power, and you look at the state of the organization today through that lens, how does it make you feel?
I feel that we are at an enormous, challenging moment. We can look at what we have done and engage in a blame game, or we can look at what has happened post-94 to understand the mistakes, whether of commission or omission, so that we learn from those mistakes. I personally believe that history teaches us one important lesson, and that is we learn not from successes, but we learn from mistakes. And that's very natural to humans. So I think that if we conduct that exercise as an open and transparent exercise, we will be cued to the future, a healthier society, a society which cannot be guaranteed to be fault-free, but certainly a society that is healthy, thriving, and encouraging to everybody to feel part of the change.
Well, Mac, thank you very much. It's been lovely to have you back on radio again, and congratulations on this book.
Thank you very much, Mandy.
All the best. Mac Maharaj there, one of the co-authors of the book. It's called Breakthrough, The Struggles and Secret Talks That Brought Apartheid South Africa to the Negotiating Table. Mac Maharaj writing that with Paulo Jordan, two men who had close proximity to these talks. And it's an interesting period of time because it looks at the run-up to the actual negotiations. How did they get to the negotiating table? And as Mac Maharaj says there, it is very much a historical work. He didn't want opinion to be included in it. So it's something that you should definitely add to your collection if you want a record of the history of this country.